Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Rural hospitals are disproportionately impacted by Ontario's healthcare crisis. That is a key message delivered by the Rural Ontario Municipal Association in a report recently released. Campbellford Memorial Hospital CEO Jeff Honenkirk can tell you firsthand how difficult it is to run a rural hospital. Keeping the emergency room open, recruiting doctors, addressing the concerns of nurses, create a picture that is not pretty. Still, not everything is doom and gloom. He will also describe the ambitious plans the hospital has to develop a campus of care that may go a long way to solving these issues. I'm so pleased to have with me today Jeff Honenkirk, the CEO of Campbellford Memorial Hospital. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. Thank you for having me.
Recently, the Rural Ontario Municipal Association released a report calling on the provincial government to support rural communities impacted by the healthcare crisis. How would you describe the current needs of Campbellford Memorial Hospital as one of those hospitals serving a rural community?
Thank you. It's a great question. I did have the pleasure of attending the ROMA conference as well. And I think the discussions at the conference were dead on in terms of real the lack of primary care, the lack of support of keeping the emergency departments open, the scarce mental health and addiction access, and as well as a shortage of health care workers. So these were the themes that were discussed at ROMA. And this is what Campbellford Memorial Hospital actually experiences every day. One thing I could say is I've worked in large cities, I worked in urban cities, and now I work in a rural community. And I would have to say today, as it relates to Ontario health equity, that your postal code is more important than your genetic code. And yeah, I really see it and I really feel it today, that health equity is actually not the same. The further north you are from the 401, the less access you have to care. So I was very pleased that the ROMA report highlighted specific recommendations that would help the rural communities.
How is it that you respond to these challenges then? What do you do in order to make up for that inequity?
I do work a lot with our partners because we can't solve healthcare challenges within the four walls of your hospital. So it's about partnerships, about integration. So we do work with our partners across Northumberland County. We also work with our Ontario Health team. We work with Ontario Health. We've taken the opportunity to identify, but also to rectify and try to work on solutions. Now, the government has been very supportive, including David Piccini, in terms of listening to some of our challenges. The challenge that we have here is there's only so much money and funding that could support programs or expansion programs. So it's very competitive when it comes to rural healthcare in terms of trying to get the support that you need, trying to access healthcare that you need, trying to get physicians here, trying to get nurses here as well. But it's really more of a collaborative approach. I would have to say, based on the pandemic, it's very clear that we can't solve this alone, and we need to work better together. And this is how we're solving, at least addressing some of our challenges.
Part of this collaboration you've already mentioned is working with our MPP, David Piccini. I understand that this week there is an important announcement regarding the family health team in Trent Hills. Can you share some information about this?
Sure, yes. And thank you. We are very grateful that the Trent Hills family health team has been identified as one of the primary care expansion programs. It's been very clear that primary care is challenging. So in our region, we have about 3,100 patients who aren't attached. So they do not have a physician. So what happens is two things. Either they get very sick and stay home, or they come to the emergency department, which we do not have the capacity to support these patients, or at least to follow up these patients. So David Piccini will be coming in an announcement on funding to expand the primary care program to allow them to increase nurse practitioners and nurses to actually be able to support some of the unattached patients, but not all. And we're hopefully that we were able to get more money to be able to serve at least the 3,100 with no family doctor.
The recruiting of doctors is one of the big challenges that rural hospitals face. Now, with the demand being so great, why are young doctors or others not flocking to rural communities, as it seems they would have a full practice in no time?
That's a great question. I'm actually working very closely with the municipality of Trent Hills on a recruitment and retention committee, trying to figure that out. The challenge is the education system is not producing enough physicians. That's number one. Number two, a lot of these physicians are actually graduating with a lot of debt. And when they actually graduate with debt, they're looking to join communities and practices where their overhead is actually subsidized by the municipality, or they're getting incentives to join municipalities to work. And what's happening is, when you look at Queen's University and University of Toronto, a lot of these schools tend to attract our residents and our physicians, and they graduate and end up staying in urban and large cities. And it's very difficult for us to attract. So we are competing in terms of the short supply of physicians.
So how do you make up in the interim? How do you bridge these gaps while you're trying so desperately to bring people in?
We try to, again, work with the universities and colleges, but we're trying to really understand what else could attract physicians. So for us in Campbellford, it's lifestyle. So we're really trying to package a lifestyle, work-life balance, a complement of patients that is manageable. Right now, what we're seeing is, we'll call it, our physicians who are retiring tend to leave practices that we actually have to replace them with three physicians just because of the workload. So what we're trying to do is work with our new grads in terms of giving them the work balance, selling, I would say, or at least promoting work life, the environment, the hiking, the nature. But again, you got to remember, not everybody actually wants to be able to move in this area. The other challenge that we have is the young residents and physicians who come here also come with young families or spouses. So they also need work. So we're trying to work with our local businesses in terms of, can we actually find employment for our for their spouses as well? So we're working very hard with our physician and recruitment group. But again, we are in competition with a lot of areas.
Recruiting and retaining staff is also a challenge for the hospital. Last year, you went through an independent assessment committee hearing that ended with an extensive 102-page report to improve staffing and recruitment to retain nurses. Now, the report described the situation for nurses as being a, quote, poor work environment. What aspects have you implemented since the release of this report?
Thank you. And that's a great question. So first of all, what we've done differently is we sat down and listened and understood some of the challenges. And we're working very closely with the union. And keeping in mind that these recommendations, this report, you're starting to see this across all the provinces and all the hospitals. But we're focusing just on Campbellford. And this is a market right now where we need to work closer with our unions and our nurses. So with the 100 and plus recommendations, we co-developed opportunities for improvement. For example, we looked at scheduling. For example, we looked at safety. How do we keep our nurses safe? We looked at nursing to patient ratio. We looked at education. So we are actually on our way of we'll call it checking the box on improvements, but we got a long way to go. But what I could say is that the unions and the staff are actually very pleased that management is working closely and that we are down the path of success, but we're not there yet.
What is left to be done?
There's a long list. So there is models of care. There is, again, ensuring that we have appropriate equipment So there's a process of making sure that we also have appropriate training or continuing education. So there is a long list. And what we've done is with the unions and our nurses, if we prioritize what are some of the things that we must do immediately, what are the things that we can actually work together, and what are the things that we could wait with more investments. And we're working very closely with our nursing staff to do so. So I could say today it is a better place. We are to work. We are listening to our staff. We also have created, we call it retention committees, where nurses, and it's multidisciplinary, where they're raising some of the challenges and bringing it to management. So therefore, we are addressing it. And we're not waiting until it's too late.
Do you think if anyone was to ask the nurses at the hospital if they would recommend working there, do you think you've changed their mind sufficiently that they would say that?
I'm going to say absolutely. And I can say this with confidence. I've started here about 9 months ago, and there was about a 20% exit of staff. We could not keep people here. We would onboard them, and they would leave within months. I can say with pleasure, the hard work of our team, human resources, and the work that we're doing with our unions, we have about a 5%. So we actually reduced the exit of staff to about 5%. So that's telling me that people are here, are staying. People are actually giving us an opportunity, and people want to stay here. So I'm glad to see that it is improving.
One of the things that's being experienced in some of the larger urban centers is a problem with opioids and drug addiction. What are you offering in Campbellford for people who might be facing that? And what is the situation? Can you describe the situation as it exists in Campbellford?
Yes, without the exact numbers, we are seeing an increase of opioid. And where we're seeing that is in our emergency department. And unfortunately, we are unable to provide the care. So what happens is they come to the emergency department, we're seeing an increase of opioid cases, and we need to refer them to other programs. Now, it's only as good as them wanting to go and travel, and a lot of times they don't. So they end up in the community without getting the care that they need. And we actually are starting to see that now.
Emergency department closures is a reality in some medium and smaller rural hospitals. And have you had to close the ER at any time in recent months?
Emergency closures is something that keeps me up at night. I often work with our physicians, and I work with our nurses. So my understanding is last year, just before my starting, we closed the emergency department 4 times. And the reason for that is the shortage of nurses. And we rectified that by actually hiring agency nurses. Now, although we have agency nurses, and these are nurses that are, we call them traveling nurses, it's really helped us to keep our doors open. But the challenge is that we don't have the funding to support the agency nurses. So I would share that one agency nurse is equivalent to a salary of one CEO. We have about 13 agency nurses in this organization, and that's in order to keep the organization open. So it is very challenging, again, to work with the government and work with the province in terms of we are mandated to keep our doors open, but we also can't afford running this hospital agency nurses. So we're trying very hard to attract nurses. But at this point in time, the only way we're doing it is by keeping it, by hiring agency nurses to help us.
You are working on plans to create a campus of care. Can you tell us what that is and how does it go to resolving some of these key issues?
So, thank you for this question. I was hoping you would ask me this. So campus of care is actually the solution to provide better healthcare for Campbellford. And what we're trying to build is something very unique. And if you look in the Roma report, they really talk about integration of care, better partnerships, more collaboration. So the campus of care, what we're very excited for is we're building a healthcare system for 2080. So it's just not for tomorrow, for the next 10 years. It's for actually care that is required in the area. So we are building a new hospital, 50-bed hospital, a long-term care home of 28 beds, a community mental health clinic, a geriatric assessment intervention program, primary care, supportive housing, a dementia village, which I'd like to talk to, and professional offices. So what this does is allows us to co-locate services together where we have green space and recreational, and it becomes a destination of integrated healthcare right in the heart of community. So therefore, instead of traveling an hour and a half, we've co-located and integrated services in one area on 50 acres of land. The beauty is we have the land and we have partnerships. What we don't have is approval to start building. So we're hoping that government really understands that we are trying to build a solution of healthcare. This is not bricks and mortar. This is actually a healthcare solution. And what I like about this solution is this will prevent and help the capacity in Peterborough, in the Quinte region, as well in the Coburg area, where we can actually provide care close to home, which is what Roma and government is trying to do. That's one thing. The other thing I like to share is how the benefits, it will allow us to actually attract physicians in the area. So family health care and primary care is so important. But if we create a location and a place to practice, physicians will come and providers will come and nurses will come. It also creates job growth, where our campus of care will allow to build at least 500 more jobs. It'll be an opportunity really to work with our partners. And having an integration and organization of services in one area, the co-location will allow to minimize duplication, will cost savings to the system. We can share constructions, infrastructure, and opportunities. And I like to say that it will help with regional capacity expansion. It would help with long-term care beds. It would help with our ALC and all our partners. So it would allow us to be true partners to Peterborough and North Hastings, because right now we rely on services in Peterborough and in Coburg. We're not the best partners because we have nothing to offer. As a campus of care, now we can actually be able to integrate better and be able to do our part.
Do you have an estimated cost for this build?
Right now, at this point in time, we are working with the province. What we need right now is a planning grant. A planning grant right now is about $3 million, and the planning grant will allow us to estimate the cost that is needed to build this campus of care with our partners. And that would take a couple of years. But without a planning grant, we cannot come down to an estimate how much this will cost. But we can assure you, because it's co-located and because we have multiple partners on one campus of care, we will be sharing infrastructure, cost construction, working with the municipality, and so forth.
What sort of support are you getting from the provincial government as you try to move forward?
Right now, we have their ears. They are listening. But unfortunately, I think that they've overpromised into many expansion programs and bills within the province. And they're trying to sort out how to support other expansions and renovations. And we have our hand up, and we are working very closely with David Pacini. He is very supportive, but I think there's a queue and a line. We're hoping that with this new budget announcement that comes in March this year, that we do get an announcement to support our planning grant to allow us to continue to build this campus of care. That's desperately needed.
It may take decades before you realize this. What do you do in the interim then?
We continue working with our partners in terms of providing the right care in the province. So we are actually working with the province and looking at mobility teams. We're working with our retirement homes on maybe looking at some, we call them our ALC patients. These are patients who are too sick to be at home, but not sick enough to be in a hospital. So we're looking to see if there's some capacity in our retirement homes where we can partner and create programs where we can actually have patients, our ALC patients, with restorative care to get better, to wait for their long-term care placement. We are working with our clinics. We are working with VON. Anything we can do, I've asked for funding to have adult daycare programs. So therefore, if people actually need care during the day, maybe their loved ones could drop them off during the day where we can provide them care, diabetes care. So we're trying everything we can and trying to access as many innovative funding proposals as possible. Now, the campus of care, we do have a timeline. If we do get, or when we get our planning grant, if we get it this March or April as an announcement, we do believe that our long-term care program could start first, and that could be built within 3 years. Our planning cycle will be 4 years. We're hoping by 2030, it all goes well, we can actually have this campus of care that's desperately needed.
As I was hearing you answer my question, I didn't hear you mention the Northumberland County Paramedicine Program. Is yes. Campbellford served by this or not?
Yeah, absolutely. We are actually served by three paramedicine programs, and we're very fortunate and very grateful in that program. And the program that they do with us is they take care of any patients that we just discharge that may need, we'll call it a health check. They actually go into the patient's home, and they do glucometers, blood tests, and check in on the patients. And these patients are actually are waiting for, again, long-term care, and they are a bridge. And they're actually helping us keep these patients healthy at home so they don't become readmitted back to the emergency department for care. So we are fortunate to have access to three paramedic programs.
Money is always a crucial aspect for operating a hospital. How much money would you need to put Campbellford Memorial Hospital on a steady financial footing operationally?
That's an excellent question. So we are just going through that financial analysis right now. And based on our current spend, meaning taking care of our volumes, our increase, the need, and the staffing, right now, I would say between $30 and $32 million is probably a sufficient amount of numbers that will allow us to be financially viable, provide the right care to our patients, and support the staff that we need in order to ensure that we provide the right care in a rural community.
How does that compare to your current budget?
Right now, we are actually at $24 to $25 million. So we are short about $5.5 million at this point in time. And that's our actual cost.
Trent Hills Council is building a $20-plus million arena wellness center. Considering the needs of the hospital, how do you respond to this expenditure?
I think it's excellent for the community. It is well needed, not just for the well, but also we have an opportunity to work with our community center and our municipality in looking at programs. This is a great possibility that we can look at adult programs where we can keep our aging healthy. It's also an opportunity that maybe we can look at a way to where we can attract staff when they do have children on PA days. Can we actually put programs where we can take care of our children in community centers to allow our staff to come to work? So I think that we can come up with a unique opportunity with the recreational center. It also allows us to attract people in this area. I do believe Campbellford Memorial area is a destination to come and retire and to live well. And I think the recreational center is just, it will help.
You just released earlier this week a strategic planning survey. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes, and we're very excited about it. So the last strategic planning that was done in Campbellford Memorial Hospital was 2013. So one of the mandates that were given to me by the board was making sure that we have an opportunity now to actually build and design and reimagine our future. So part of the strategic planning process is really to do a re-engagement of our community and our partners to reimagine the future of Campbellford Memorial Hospital, but also healthcare within our region. So this is an opportunity to give our staff, our physicians, our community partners, and all our community to help us design the future of healthcare, not just the campus of care, but what does healthcare look like and should look like in the area of Trent Hills.
So what's next?
So what's next is by June, we will have a very clear path in terms of what the next 5 to 7 years should look like. And in September, we will have a very clear path every year, what strategic priorities the organization, the municipality, and the board will focus on in order to get us to, one, the campus of care, but two, to a better healthcare this community needs.
Jeff Hohenkirk, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. This was a pleasure. Thank you very much, Robert.
That was Campbellford Memorial Hospital CEO, Jeff Hohenkirk. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.